I would now like to talk about the core and fundamental beliefs that all Muslims have, and the core and fundamental practice or framework that Muslims live by. We refer to these as the six pillars or articles of faith and the five pillars of Islam or pillars of practice. These are pillars, which means they are the foundation. Without them, the religion of Islam cannot exist. And these are a core that every person who claims to be a Muslim should believe in and should strive to practice. When we talk about the six pillars of faith, we are talking first and foremost about the belief in Allah, the belief in God. We believe that there is only one God. We believe that God is absolute and that God is unique. He is the creator of all things. He is the most powerful, the most wise, the most kind, the most merciful, the most generous. He is the provider for all things, and He is the one who gives life, and He is the one who will take life away. We believe that nobody can be set as an intermediary or an associate or an equal or a partner with God, and we devote all of our acts of worship to Him and to Him alone. Allah tells us about Himself in the Quran, in a famous chapter of the Quran or surah, which we refer to as Surah Al-Ikhlas. Allah says in the Quran, "Say, O Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to people who have asked you about Allah, that Allah is the only one," meaning Allah is the only creator. He is therefore the only one that's worthy of being worshipped. Allah is then telling us that He is the absolute, which means everything is in need of Allah. Allah is not in need of anything else. Allah does not get tired. Allah does not need to rest. Allah does not forget. Allah does not have any weaknesses or deficiencies, as is claimed in some other religions and scriptures. Allah then goes on and says about Himself, "Lam yalid wa lam yulad," He does not beget, nor was He begotten. He does not have any children, nor does He have any parents, because He is not in need of such a thing. Human beings, we have a strong desire and need for children. We want those children to carry on our name and our legacy after we die. We want them to fulfill the hopes and dreams that we were not able to fulfill in our lifetime. But the reality is that Allah doesn't have such needs, and He is not lacking in that area at all. Allah is the first with no beginning. He is the last with no end. Allah is the absolute, and everything in existence is His creation and is belonging to Him. Allah goes on and He says that there is nothing that is similar or co-equal to Him. Although we know Allah through His creation and we know Allah through His revelation, we look to His description of Himself and His names and attributes, but we do not compare any of those names and attributes to mankind. People can be generous, but their generosity is nothing compared to the generosity of Allah. People can be merciful, but their mercy is nothing compared to the mercy of Allah. People can see, but they cannot see all things. Allah can see all things and knows all things and can hear all things at all times. There is not a seed in the earth except Allah knows about it. There is not a leaf that falls from a tree except Allah is already aware of it. There is not a fish in the sea or a bird in the sky except that Allah is completely aware of it and encompasses all of it with His knowledge. So there is nothing that is similar or co-equal to Him, and therefore there is no one and there is nothing that is worthy of being worshipped except Allah, the Creator of all things. The first pillar of belief, we said, is the belief in Allah. The second pillar of belief is to believe in the angels. We believe that Allah has created angels. We don't see them, but they can see us. And we know through modern science that there are many things in this world that exist that we don't see or that we cannot sense, and other creation of Allah can sense them. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us that other creation of Allah can sense the angels even though we don't. We can sense the existence of the angels by the good effects that they have in our lives. The angels pray for us. The angels protect us. The angels have many tasks. One of them, which is a very important one and has a great effect on a believer's life, is that angels are with us at all times, recording our deeds and actions. And we believe that this book of deeds will be given to us on the day of judgment, and we will be held accountable for what we have done. And Allah will say, you are enough of a witness against yourself, read what is in your book. So we will be held accountable by Allah based on what these unbiased observers have recorded in that book, and based on what Allah Himself already knows and has already seen. So a believer should live a very God-conscious life, because they know that angels are with them at all times, and they know that Allah can see all things, and that they will be held accountable for what they do and what they say in this life on the day of judgment. Angels are a very important link between us and God, because they are messengers of God, and they are the ones who bring the revelation from God. We don't believe that there are fallen angels, as is believed in some religions, because Allah says in the Quran, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. Allah says the angels never disobey Allah's command, and they fulfill His commands precisely and exactly as He has asked them to do so. So the angels never disobey Allah, and they never get tired or bored from the worship of Allah. And there are countless angels in existence that praise and glorify God and worship Him in countless ways. There are angels, as we mentioned, that bring the revelation to us, and this in it is guidance and mercy for mankind. There are also angels that come to us at the time of death to take our soul. There are angels that want good for us and pray for us at all times, as we mentioned. There is another category of creature that we would mention at this time as well, and that is the jinn. We believe that jinn are a creation of Allah that are similar to human beings in the sense that they have free will and they can choose to do good or evil, unlike the angels who have no free will. And the jinn, there are some that are believers and some that are disbelievers, just like mankind. And we believe that Satan or the devil is amongst that category of the jinn, and has an animosity towards mankind, and is striving along with those who follow him from human beings and jinn to misguide mankind in this world and throughout this test that we are living in this life. Number three, we believe in the books and scriptures that Allah has revealed. Allah has told us about several of the scriptures and books that He has sent over time. He told us about the Zabur that He sent to Prophet Dawood, or the Psalms that He sent to Prophet David, as it's referred to in English, peace be upon him. He told us about the Torah that He has revealed to Prophet Musa or Moses, peace be upon him. Allah has told us in the Quran about the Injil, or the Gospel that has been revealed to Prophet Jesus or Prophet Isa, as we refer to him in Arabic, peace be upon him. And Allah has told us about scriptures that He has revealed to Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him as well. We believe that all of these scriptures, in their original unadulterated form, came with one message. And that is the belief in one God, and that there is a day of judgment. And it commanded us to pray and to fast and to give charity and to be good to others. And it asked us to refrain from killing others, and stealing and lying, and so on and so forth. So the core messages, the core beliefs and practices within these messages was one. And we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not preserve those previous revelations. Why did He not preserve them? We may speculate that number one, it was a test for the believers of that time. Will they preserve the command from God and the revelation from Him, or will they corrupt it over time for their own financial and worldly benefit and gain? And secondly, whenever Allah sends another prophet and messenger with another revelation, then they are to follow the latest prophet and messenger and the latest revelation. And if the previous one has already become corrupted, then it's easy for people to know that they should not follow it anymore. We believe the last and the final revelation sent to mankind is referred to as the Qur'an, or the recitation, which has been revealed through the angel Gabriel by Allah to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. We believe that the Qur'an is the literal word of God that was spoken by Him, and it is preserved authentically from the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which was over 1,400 years ago. We believe that it supersedes all of the previous revelations, and that in it is all that we need for guidance. So a Muslim does not turn to any of the previous scriptures today for guidance or for the way that they will live their life religiously. Rather, a Muslim will turn to the Quran and will turn to the life and times and sayings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, for guidance and for a way of life to emulate. How do we know that the Quran is still preserved in its authenticity when we say that other scriptures and revelations have been changed? We can see that there are various versions for other scriptures and revelations, but for the Quran there is only one version. We know that the Quran has been preserved in writing from the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and it has also been preserved orally, and it has been handed down through an uninterrupted chain of narration, generation upon generation. We literally have millions of Muslims around the world today who memorize the entire Quran, word for word, letter for letter, cover to cover. And I have not met people in other religions in such numbers that memorize their religious scripture in its entirety. And Allah has made a promise that He will preserve this message and this revelation because it is the last and the final revelation sent to mankind. So we've talked about the belief in Allah, we've talked about the belief in the angels, we've talked about the belief in the books and scriptures that were revealed by Allah. Number four, we talk about the belief in the messengers of God. Allah, in His ultimate kindness and wisdom, He created mankind with a good nature, a nature that recognizes the existence of God, that recognizes good and evil, and that has an inclination to do good for the most part. But Allah has also sent us revelation and scripture to guide us to live in a way that is most pleasing to Him and most beneficial for us in this life, and more importantly in the hereafter. But Allah, in His ultimate wisdom and mercy, did not leave us to read that scripture and understand it for ourselves, but rather Allah has sent messengers who will embody that revelation, who will interpret that revelation for us, and who will show us how to live and implement that revelation in our life. We believe that there were many prophets and messengers that were sent throughout time. Many of them are similar to the prophets and messengers believed in Judaism and Christianity, for example. We do believe, as an example, that Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, is a prophet of God, where other religions would not recognize him as a prophet. We believe that Adam, peace be upon him, was the first human being that was ever created, and he did commit a sin. He forgot and was misguided by Satan, and he ate from the forbidden tree. But Allah, in His ultimate kindness and wisdom, guided him and his wife Eve to repent and ask for forgiveness, and Allah forgave them because He is the most merciful, the most forgiving. So we don't believe that the original sin is passed down generation upon generation, and that a human being is born full of sin. Rather, we believe that a human being is born sinless, and that everyone is only accountable for those actions which they have done in their lifetime. And we don't believe that it's just that you or anyone else would be held accountable for what someone has done generations ago without your knowledge, without your permission, without your participation in that sin. We believe that Allah has sent many other prophets and messengers, such as Prophet Noah, Prophet Abraham, Prophet Ishmael and Isaac, Prophet Moses, Prophet Jesus, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon them all, just as some examples. We believe that the prophets and messengers were rightly guided men who were righteous and were chosen by God to be role models and examples for mankind. We don't believe in some of the stories that are mentioned in some scriptures that mention these prophets and messengers committing major sins. Because they were meant to be role models and examples for mankind, Allah guided them and protected them from committing such sins. We believe that the prophets and messengers are related to one another. So Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, comes from the lineage of Prophet Ishmael, and Prophet Jesus and Moses, for example, come from the lineage of Prophet Isaac. And Ishmael and Isaac were half-brothers. They were both the sons of Prophet Abraham. So we believe, as we mentioned, that they did come with one message, and that was submission to God. We don't believe that Allah has changed his mind or has sent confusion over time. Rather, it's people who have manipulated and who have changed the teachings and messages of these prophets and messengers over time for their own benefit and for their own materialistic and worldly reasons. We believe that we must love and respect all of the prophets and messengers. There were countless prophets and messengers, but 25 of them have been mentioned to us by name. And a person cannot be a Muslim if they don't love Jesus, peace be upon him, for example. A person cannot be a Muslim if they don't believe in Moses, peace be upon him, and his brother Aaron, who was also a prophet of Allah. The prophets and messengers lived the ideal lifestyles, so we turn to the stories of their lives for inspiration and for an exemplary code of conduct. We believe that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was the last and the final messenger sent to mankind. And because he was the last and final messenger of mankind, then every follower of his today has the duty to do the role that prophets and messengers did previously, and that is to share the message of God with others, as I am trying to do with you today. The fifth pillar of faith is the belief in the Day of Judgment. We believe that this life is a short and a temporary life. We will live in this world for 70 years, 80 years, 100 years if we are lucky, but we will die. We don't believe in reincarnation and that there will be an unlimited number of lives, but we do believe that we will be resurrected and we will live another life, which will be an eternal life. Sometimes in this life, we see that there are things that happen that we don't understand. We see bad things happening to good people. We see good things happening to bad people. We ask, where is the mercy? Where is the justice? But we believe that Allah's mercy and justice will prevail in the hereafter. In this life, we find that it is a test. And the purpose of life is that we recognize God, we love Him, we believe in Him, and we worship Him by living in a way that is pleasing to Him. Living that way will bring us happiness and success in this life, and it will bring us true success and ultimate bliss in the hereafter for an eternity. We believe that the Day of Judgment is a day when people will be held accountable for what they have done. And those who have wronged others, if they are not forgiven, then they will be punished for their crimes. And those who have done good, even if it was not recognized by people in this life, they will be rewarded and they will be compensated for the good that they do. Now, some people will argue, in Islam, you focus a lot on doing good works and good actions and that you will earn rewards for those good actions. We say yes. This is the nature that Allah has created mankind with, and this is what motivates people. When they know that there is reward for the good that they do, they strive. When they know that there is punishment and they will lose out on something when they are negligent, then they will not be negligent. This is the way our school systems are. This is the way our employment system is. This is the way our entire life functions, even punishment for crime and the way that our governments are run and so on. So we know that this is a motivation. But of course, the ultimate motivation should be love of Allah, should be our gratitude towards Him for all of the blessings and all of His kindness, for Him overlooking all of our shortcomings, for us not fulfilling even a fraction of His rights. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was asked when he mentioned to his companions that no one will enter paradise by their deeds or their actions. The companions were quite surprised. His disciples were saying, we are being told all the time that we need to do good deeds and that it's very important to work good. So you are telling us that no one will enter paradise by their actions? He said, no one. They said, even you? Because the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, exerted himself in his worship of God and did more than the average person did. They said, even you? He said, even me, until and unless Allah covers me and envelops me in His mercy. So it's only by the mercy and the grace of God that people will enter paradise, will earn His forgiveness, and will be saved. How do we earn salvation? In Islam, It's a direct connection between us and Allah. There is no intermediary. We don't need a priest or a clergyman or anyone else to forgive our sins, or we don't need them to be the one who will pardon us. Rather, we turn to Allah in sincere repentance. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, informed us, all of the children of Adam are sinners, and the best of them are the ones who will repent to God. So we are always from those who ask Allah to forgive us and to accept our repentance. Allah has informed us that those who believe in Him and they do their best to try to be good and do good, then Allah will forgive them for their sins and He will reward them with an eternity in paradise. But those who reject Allah by disbelieving in Him, or they refuse to submit to Him and worship Him and follow His way, then Allah has promised that they will be an eternity in hellfire. May Allah protect us from that. Number six, we talk about the belief in the divine decree of God. And that is that there are things in this life which are predestined by Allah. Although as human beings we have free will, you've chosen to watch this video today. I'm choosing to speak to you about this topic today. But at the same time, there are countless things that occur to us in our life which we have no control over whatsoever. We didn't choose to be male or female. We didn't choose to be from this race or that race. We didn't choose to be from a poor family or a rich family. We don't choose for an accident to occur or for us to get sick. There are countless things that occur in our life, both good and bad, which are beyond our control. We believe that everything that happens in this universe happens for a reason. Everything that happens, happens as a part of Allah's plan. Everything that happens, happens by the knowledge of Allah, happens by the permission of Allah, and Allah has already written down everything that will occur in this universe before the universe was even created. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, informed us that 50,000 years before the earth was even created, Allah had already written down that I would be speaking to you at this very moment. Now, how do we deal with this in relation to our free will? We believe that everybody chooses how to react to the tests that occur to them in this life. And Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, gave us a formula to succeed in this life's test. He said, the affair or the state of a true believer is something amazing. And that is not for anyone except for those who are true believers. When something good happens to them, they are grateful and they are thankful to God for that. And they will be rewarded by Allah accordingly, meaning it's a win-win situation. And when something bad happens to them, when a calamity befalls them, as it inevitably will in this life, they are patient, they persevere, they remain committed, they still believe in God. They don't say, why me? And this is not fair, and I can't believe it. And if God loved me, He wouldn't do this to me. No. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, if Allah loves someone, He may afflict them with calamities until they walk on the face of the earth sinless. They've already been purified from all their sins. And their level has been elevated to such a high status in the hereafter because of the difficulties they endured. And those difficulties prepare them for the great role they will play in this life in the future. Because how many a test only made us stronger when we passed that test? We believe that everything that happens in this life happens for a reason, and therefore it makes it easier for us to accept what happens. We know that it is already decreed when we will die, where we will die, how we will die. So we don't live our life in fear of death. We don't live our life in fear of falling ill or poverty, because we know that our sustenance is in the hands of Allah. As long as we work hard, as long as we have a good intention, then Allah can bless us and Allah will bless us. A person might say, if everything is already decreed, then how will my prayers have any effect in this life whatsoever? We say this is a good question, and the companions of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, asked him as well. The reality is, Allah is not constrained by time the way we are. The beginning, the middle, and the end of everything is the same for Him. He's already seen everything that will happen. For us, we are living this life in this world day by day. I don't know what happened 1,000 years ago, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but Allah already knows all of it. So Allah knows, for example, that I will pray that something good will happen and he will answer my prayer and that good thing will occur for me. And Allah will show me on the day of judgment how my prayer was answered and it brought about goodness in my life, or it turned away a calamity that was going to afflict me as a result of that good deed which I did. Belief in this gives a believer a certain sense of strength and a certain sense of confidence, because they know that nothing harmful can afflict them unless it's by the will and the decree of Allah. They put their full trust in God and they live a life worth living, not a life in which they regret decisions that they've made, or a life in which they fear the ramifications of any decision and what may happen in the future. They plan, they put good work and effort, and then they rely on Allah for the good result from Him, and that He will guide them and bless them. These are the six pillars of faith that every Muslim must believe in. There are other beliefs that we have, but this is the core and the foundation of our belief system: to believe in Allah as one and only God, to believe in the angels who brought down the revelation from God, to believe in the scripture that came as revelation from Allah, and the messengers who it was sent to from mankind that were role models and examples for us all. The day of judgment, in which we will be held accountable for whether we believed in Allah and His messengers and followed His revelation or not, and we will be rewarded with an eternity in paradise, or we will be punished with an eternity in hellfire. And number six, to believe in the divine decree from Allah, and that He is the master of this universe and in control, and that is He who decrees, and His will is that which will be executed regardless of what we want. And we strive and ask Allah to bless us and to bring good